Today's episode of the Be Our Guest podcast is proudly sponsored by the great folks over at virtualmickey.com. You've heard their ads for years now, and let me just tell you about two apps. We talk about them each week that you need to have by the end of today on your iOS device. First of all, you need Days to Go WDW because this app gets you excited for your next Walt Disney World vacation. We always have that mental countdown, but how about every morning when you get out of bed and check your email right there on your smartphone? You can see how many days you have left to go until your next Disney vacation. You'll get awesome pictures. You get audio alerts. You can customize the app to suit your needs perfectly, and it's going to get you excited for that next trip. Also, we need to know what's going on at the Disney theme parks, and that's where Theme Park News Disney Edition comes in. This is a free iOS app that gives you both official and unofficial news from the most reliable sources on the internet. So check out these and other great apps and support the folks who support us. They're over at virtualmickey.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 929 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. A very happy Wednesday to you, and thank you so much for downloading the show. We are back for another One Commute Question Show, where we take your questions, comments, mini trip reports, and even complaints sometimes. Nah, you guys don't complain too much. We love you guys. But we read those emails right here on the air, discuss all kinds of Disney topics, and have a great time. And you can always get in on the show by sending an email to Mike at BeOurGuestPodcast.com, and we'll get that on here as soon as we can. Before we get started today, a couple of quick notes. Of course, this Friday is Halloween Eve, and we're going to have a big Halloween special. But we want you to be a part of this Halloween special. So listen up. It's Wednesday. It's midweek. You know, it's kind of, you know, you're probably busy at work, but sometimes you grab that smartphone. You're just kind of, you know, browsing around, killing time. We need a few sentences. Now, creative and, humorous sentences would be better, but we need your creativity. Drop by our Facebook group, facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And what we're going to do for this year, for Friday, so for 2 days from now, we're going to have a collective spooky yet kind of funny Walt Disney World story to share on the podcast. So the way it's going to work, it's a collective story. Can you tell that I'm a teacher? We're going to all add a little bit to the story. I've already started it off. We're in the TTC. It's kind of cloudy. It's a crisp fall night. We're walking up to the monorail ramp, and it's, of course, it's monorail orange because it's this time of year. But then something happens. So the way it's going to work is everybody gets like two or three or four sentences, and you just comment. We keep making a big thread right there in the Facebook group, and you can take this story however you want. You just leave it hanging for the next listener to add their part. We can put, you know, people from the Disney online community in the story. We can visit the cruise ships, Disneyland, places in Walt Disney World that might be interesting, scary, fun, whatever you want. So this is going to be a fun story to share on Friday. But here's the thing. If you want to get in on this, and I want you to, so please help us out. We need you to have this in by Wednesday night. That's tonight. If you're listening on Wednesday, or if you're listening on Tuesday night, you get a little bit more time. But on Wednesday night by about 8 or 9 o'clock Eastern. So if you could get it in today, that would be awesome. So we have a little time to put it together for Friday. I'd really appreciate it. I want to make this a collective effort and make it something that we have as a kind of a fun thing in the community. So drop by BeOurGuestPodcast.com, Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast, and just comment. Give us a few sentences, and let's make this a killer, fun story for everybody for Halloween. So I can't wait for that. Also, real quick, I wanted to send a big shout-out to all of our friends who ran the Marine Corps Marathon in D.C. this past weekend. So many of the lizards and friends were out there running, taking on the bridge, getting medaled by actual Marines and supporting our nation's military. So congratulations on those personal triumphs. So many great smiles. I'm so proud of each and every one of you for accomplishing your goals out there at the Marine Corps Marathon. So well done. All right, let's get the ladies introduced and get to your listener questions. First of all, from MakingMagicAndMemories.com, we have Debbie. Happy Wednesday, Deb.
Hey, happy Wednesday. And oh my gosh, I cannot believe we're talking Halloween, people.
I can't wait. Guess what? I get down to Walt Disney World in 7 days. Seven days.
Okay, so what are y'all going to be for Halloween?
Oh, man. So what? We had our church trunk or treat this past Sunday. And not only football fans will get this, but I was going to be the Missouri offense, which meant I was going as an invisible person because our offense does not exist this year.
That's a good one. Pam, what about you?
We are not going to be anything for Halloween this year because Steve and I are actually going away for that weekend. And we won't even be home to pass out candy to the kids in our neighborhood, which I feel horrible about. But
oh my gosh, yeah, because I was gonna come trick or treating. I hear you give real candy bars.
We do.
Right, I think what I might do, I might wear my big fuzzy slippers and my old robe and stick some curlers in my hair and go as a frumpy housewife. What do you think?
There you go.
Is that like a spinoff from the Housewives of Beverly Hills or whatever those shows are?
No, Debbie just wants to be comfortable and get cheated while I'm doing it. But I will have treats for the animals. So any little body who's got their fur babies that comes with them, they all get little treats too.
We would expect nothing less, Debbie. All right. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. And how's it going, Pam?
It's going great, although I do feel bad about the Halloween thing. I didn't really think about it being this weekend, so anyways, but it couldn't have been avoided anyway, so it is what it is. But anyways, so we're doing great. We're in beautiful fall weather here right now. I complain about the bad, so I'm going to share the good at least. And things like the leaves are changing. It's gorgeous. It's probably gorgeous where you are too, Mike. So anyways, I just love this time of year. It's just, you know, it's so cool to see all that happening again.
It is. It's really nice, especially for, you know, if you're out there running, it gives you, you know, it really is refreshing, A, to have, you know, weather that's not 100 degrees and beating you down. It's, even though it's kind of chilly, you can layer up. And, you know, if you're running early in the morning like I do, you know, you can wear clothes to where you're still comfortable. But, man, you know, many times I run before the sun comes up and I'm still running as the sun rises. It really gives you a good perspective on the day when the sun rises over some of those changing leaves. It's pretty gorgeous.
It is. Our sunrises have been fantastic just to see all that. So love it. And of course, I have my fall cold starting. So love that.
No!
I know, right?
Everybody's going to have those after the wine and dine weekend. It's one of those, you know, you go hard for the weekend and you're sick for the next week. I'm just getting ready for it. You know, it's just how it is. But anyway, all right. Yeah, it's exactly it. I got my emergency ready to go. I don't even know if that stuff works, but they say teachers are supposed to take it, so I'm a sucker. All right, first question comes from Cheryl. She's up in Freeport, Maine. He says, hi, BOGP crew. I've got two questions for you, the first of which I don't believe I've ever heard addressed on the show. My husband and I have two kids in high school and are thinking that when they have both graduated, we'd like to take an empty nest trip to Walt Disney World. Our best friends have two kids the exact same ages as ours, and they will all be graduating together. Here's my question. Is it possible for the four of us adults to plan a trip on one reservation, staying in the same room and sharing a vacation package, dining, park tickets, etc.? Oh, that's the question. Okay, so we are hoping to do this to save expenses and also because they are our best friends and we will be spending all of our time together. Our families went to Disney together last fall and we reminisce about it all the time, often dreaming about when our next trip will be. All right, so that's the first part. And Pam, yeah, I mean, four adults in a room, you can totally do that. The only thing is everybody has to be on the same package.
Everyone has to be on the same package. And then when you get more than two adults in any of the Disney rooms, there's an added per night charge per adult. And that's something that you want to look at too. In some cases, you know, it depends on whether you're staying at a value, a moderate, a deluxe. Also, the deluxe villas don't have that charge sometimes. It just depends on how many people you're putting in the room. So look at all that.
I got hit by that too because, and I remember you used to complain about this the last couple of years. I got hit with it with Paige now. You know, it's like, you know, it doesn't cost you any extra for Paige to be 18 or 17. What are you doing to me? That's so frustrating.
I know. It's wrong.
It's like, because that's one of those things. Like, I understand and I'm willing to pay. I mean, I go, but I'm just like, seriously, what is the difference to Disney if she is 18 or 17? It is not. She's actually a little bit neater now than when she was like 16 or 17. It's
exactly.
Actually an advantage.
She's actually in the shower less time. She's like, you know, we actually spend a lot more like with her dining and stuff because she has more refined taste. Yes, I know. What's up, so, Disney?
Yeah, the third person charge. Anyway, third adult charge, I should say. Here's my next question. If we wanted to rent DVC points for this empty nest trip, what would be the best way to go about it? Who would we contact and what could we expect to pay for an off-season week, perhaps at the beach club? Sorry, that was more than two questions. Thanks for your help. I look forward to each and every one of your podcasts, and I'm always encouraging my Disney-loving friends to give a listen to. All the best, Cheryl. And Cheryl, we love you for spreading the BOGP love. Thank you so much. As far as renting DVC points, I just say, you know, Google it, search online. You know, there's many people that do that. There's, you know, some companies that have higher ratings than others. There's a lot of companies that do things slightly different in the payment forms and the expectations of how they get. Because remember, this is somebody else's contract. So it's kind of like a third party middleman situation. So I would just say, you know, Google it. Talk to people that have done this before and just make sure that you do research, because I think that, you know, this can be done and it, you know, it's something to think about, but just make sure before you put out money that you're safe and that you have a reputable source. And there are some out there because we know that people do that. So Debbie, do you have anything as far as like renting DVC points? Have you heard anything?
No, there was only one that I've worked with before because I had to get rid of some points because I needed to use them by a certain time, and they were very easy to work with. I ended up retracting it because somebody else wanted my points. They were great to work with. So you do get some really good ones that are out there.
All righty. Good luck, and thanks again for listening up in Maine. That is so cool. Next question. I bet you it's beautiful in Maine, by the way, too. I bet you that
right?
Beats Missouri. Well, it might be actually be past the prime season now. It's probably chilly up there. Anyway, Meg has our next question. Doesn't say where she's from, but she says, hi, BOGP crew. Thank you for everything that you do. I love listening to the show, live shows, and Magical Mouse Radio. My boyfriend and I are heading down to Disney World for Halloween and attending Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party for the first time on Halloween. Well, first of all, I hope you have your tickets because they're all sold out by now.
Yep, they are.
That's it. I was wondering if the characters would be out the whole length of the party and if their available times would be listed anywhere. So, Pam, the characters, you know, again, I would say as soon as you go in, go to City Hall, you know, right there as you go into the left on, you know, a town square, grab a Mickey's Not So Scary brochure and map and all that stuff. That's going to show you. But those characters, like, I guess she's talking maybe about the special characters, like maybe Jack Skellington and that kind of stuff. They're out most of the night, right?
Yeah, they are. There's varying characters out throughout the night. That's one of the cool things, and definitely grab the Times Guide. Look at your My Disney Experience app, because at times you can find when certain greetings are going to be there. Sometimes during special events, that information is a little sketchy, but check that out and make sure you have that on your phone and ready to go too.
Yeah, and the email actually continues. I noticed on a map from last year that there was a comment about a Here and Now feature on the My Disney Experience app to use during the party. Have you used this feature, and did you find it helpful for finding characters? So, Pam, did you have experience with using that Here and Now feature?
I don't use that specific feature. The one I tend to use a lot is the entertainment one when I'm looking for specific shows, because that's something that I am constantly looking for, and we don't always have that information in advance. And what I typically do is if there's something I know that I want to do, but I don't even know what time it is, if it's listed in the entertainment section of My Disney Experience, I actually click and like it. There's a little heart up in one of the corners, so you can indicate that you like this activity. And then later on, I'll be able to find it easily and then add that right to my itinerary.
Yeah, I do the same thing. It makes it really nice to kind of, you know, just it's just like, you know, bookmarking something basically online.
Exactly.
All right. And she also says, we would really like to meet Jack and Sally. And I was thinking that it might be a good time to see them after the second parade, because I read that the crowds can be lower then. Do you think this would be a good plan? Any other advice that you have on the party would be greatly appreciated. Thanks again, Meg. All right, that's kind of late in the night to meet Jack and Sally. Just, you know, again, it just depends how badly you want to meet them. My best advice, this is just me. This is what I would do, because this is how I prioritize. If I want to do something big during the Halloween party, I would go do it during the first parade, because most people are going to be tied up by that first parade. But then you also... Because it goes parade, fireworks, parade, right? Like the fireworks are in between Hallowishes.
Yeah.
Am I right? So, yeah, you just want to make sure that you're not stuck in the line where you miss Hallowishes, because you definitely don't want to miss that. But I would say try to get Jack and Sally maybe during the first parade when most people are drawn away from that area. But, I mean, after the second parade is probably a good bet, too. Just I just get nervous that you might miss out. But if you're in line, I mean, Pam, I know that Hannah was big on meeting Jack Skellington at some point. So what would you do if this was you?
Gosh, here's my thinking, because I would worry about it if I didn't do it first thing. I would worry about it like the rest of the night, knowing that she wanted to do this, that we would be in line there like as early as we possibly could and then just do it. And then I know, okay, that's done and out of the way. I don't have to think about it. And that's just me and the way I process things. But it is, I am truly like that. If I know that I have to get something done, if I am putting that off, even in favor of doing something else that I want to do, I still am like, okay, now when are we going to get back and do this thing? And are we going to be able to do it? So that's what I would do, just to ensure that I make sure I get that done.
Yeah, it's one of those things like you got to check it off the list, right? Like as soon as possible. But, yes. You know, I mean, it's a good point, because you got to kind of prioritize what do you want to get out of the party. And that makes sense. So, yeah, you know, first thing, you can kind of you got your picture, you can, you know, the rest of the evening's gravy. But if you're looking for the shortest wait time, maybe during the first parade or like you said, after the second parade. As far as one other tip, I would say if you want to do trick or treating, two of the best places to go where you're going to hit, actually three of them, they're kind of trails rather than just one stop for candy. Splash Mountain, you're going to hit about four or five buckets there where you can really load up. Back in the new Fantasyland, back by the Big Top Treats, there's usually a lot of like stops there, maybe four or five different stations. And also in Liberty Square over by the riverboat, there's like a big trail where you can make three or four stops and get a ton of candy. So if you want to load up on the candy and just kind of go through and hit a bunch of them all at once, those are three great places to go. So Debbie, have anything else for the Halloween party?
No, you know, gosh, there's just, y'all hit everything, but have fun. You're going to have such a great time. On the candy, now I've got a secret here. Okay, you cannot tell anyone my secret on how to get extra candy. Okay, so you can't tell anyone. So what you do is, see, as you know, each candy stop, there are two lines, because that helps the flow of the traffic a lot better. So instead of going through one line and getting your candy and racing to another candy stop, what you do is you go through line A, then you circle right around and get into line B. Because therefore now you got the same candy you did in line A, but you're getting double it at that point. Then you go to the next stop and you do the same thing. So now you're just kind of going beep, 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 and you'll end up doubling your candy at half the time.
Oh, this makes my back hurt, because they give you so much candy at the party. Like by the end of the night, you can barely even carry that stuff around. No kidding. I mean, I bet you we had the last time I went to the party, and I think I was there with you, Pam, that we walked out of there, each one of us, probably with, you know, 3 to 5 pounds of candy. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Your dentist
loves you. We needed other bags.
We did. Like, it didn't even fit. It was just like, oh. No. And I mean, it's good stuff, too. It's like the real deal. It's not, you know, Sixlets and, you know, stuff like that. It's not cheap stuff.
By the way, I love Sixlets.
I do, too.
They're absolutely one of my favorite candies. I don't know why.
I love them, too. And, you know, Disney does frown when you try to bring a rolling suitcase in there. I tried. Wouldn't let me.
That's what you need, though, to get all the candy they give you. I mean, you do almost, you know, you make back about $7 of your ticket cost and candy if you're thoughtful.
Absolutely.
And paying attention.
Absolutely.
All right. Next question comes from my great friend, Peter Anderson. He is up in Canada. He says, hello, Mike, Ricky, Pam, and Debbie. Before getting to my question, I thought I would play the game. Guess what episode? The rules for this game are fairly simple. I guess which number episode I think this question will get answered on. If I get it right, the eccentric billionaire from episode 900 is paying for my family to take a Christmas cruise on the Fantasy. So here
Very
goes.
Nice.
I know. Here Love goes.
It.
Drum roll, please. I think this question will be answered on show number 938. So look at that. We're ahead of the schedule. We're never ahead of the schedule, but we are, Peter. Look at that.
I felt good when we answered that question. They hadn't even gone to the Halloween party yet. I was like, yes.
I know, that was the nick of time there, boy. That was so lucky.
But anyway, they were talking about last Halloween, but that doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. That was it. Yeah, Halloween 2012. Let's see. So now onto my question. I'll be heading to Walt Disney World in January 2016 to run the marathon, and am traveling with my parents, my wife, our brand new 1.5-month-old son. After the craziness of the race weekend, we will be settling in for a split stay at Animal Kingdom Lodge and the Polynesian. While at the Polynesian, I had an idea for an awesome dining adventure, and I was hoping that you would be able to make some suggestions. I would like to do a 3-course monorail meal, which would feature an appetizer, a main course, and a dessert, with one course at each of the monorail resorts. The only condition that I am setting is that each course must be from a non-table service restaurant for the sake of time. If you were taking on this challenge, what would be your ultimate 3-course monorail meal? I can't wait to hear your answers. Blessings, Peter. All right, so non-table service, so we're talking counter service, and we're going to be going, I guess, the Polynesian, Grand Floridian, and the Contemporary. So this is going to take a little bit of thinking, but so I'm trying to think. So what I would do, oh man, I had something really good. I'm trying to think. So my main course, I'm just going to try to throw this out here, because I've never had counter service at, I don't think I've ever really eaten anything counter service at the Grand Floridian, but here's what I would throw out for a couple suggestions, because I don't have the whole deal here. I would have the Kahlua sliders at Captain Cook's for my entree, and I would get, and again, this sounds really weird, but over at the Contemporary for dessert, inside that what's the name of that store?
Cafe.
No, not the Contempo. The store actually there. It's called like LBV.
Oh,
I guess
yeah.
It'd be LBV. So like, yeah, the three initials LBV. I guess they've put in a counter in there that almost looks like one of those counters from like a Big Top Treats. There's like cupcakes and you know, the big Rice Krispie treats and stuff like that. I would go in and get one of those gigantic themed cupcakes for my dessert. Eat it while I watch the monorail pass over. So I guess I would leave my appetizer to Gasparilla. Oh, but have you seen those hot dogs that they have at Gasparilla's at the Grand Floridian? Have you seen they announced that this week?
I'm not a hot dog person.
One of those hot dogs, the bun was a baked potato. Like, it was a hot dog inside
really?
Of a baked potato bun. They were crazy. They have a different one each day of the week. So maybe, let me think this over, maybe get one of those crazy hot dogs. Not fancy. It's a good thing he's running 26 miles. So maybe have one of those hot dogs, depending on what day of the week it is. Oh my gosh, they look crazy. Maybe the sliders wouldn't be a good appetizer. They have crab, or they're not crab rangoon. They have pot stickers though at Captain Cook's, don't they? That'd be an appetizer.
I don't know. Yeah. Do they have those at Captain Cook's? I know they have them at Kona.
I don't know. But you know, hey, I'm not great at this. So Pam, what suggestions do you have for this? This is a great idea. The monorail 3-course meal.
It is. So here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to go to Captain Cook's and get those little chicken and waffles, because that could be like an appetizer. They're not very big.
What was I thinking? I love those suckers.
Right? And they're like tiny, right? I mean, like, you could eat like 2 orders of that maybe if you were wanting to make an entree. But as an appetizer, or like split it with someone, each of you can have a chicken and waffle thing. And then I would head over to Contempo Cafe. I'm a sucker still for this sandwich. It is a grilled turkey, brie, apples, and apple butter with arugula on it. It is so good. One of my favorite sandwiches actually at Disney World that we get sometimes. So I would go there for my entree, and for dessert, then that means that I am at Gasparilla. And last time we were there, they had a pina colada cupcake. That was one of the specialty cupcakes. It had like a coconut icing on it, but it had pineapple, like not jelly, but you know, gelled pineapple in the middle of it. It was really good. And that's what I would do. See, I had no problem with this.
I'm like, man, yes. She's got it down.
Right?
That's a good plan. Man. That is a good plan. I actually might have to do this at some point. I love this idea, Peter. This is a great idea. This is a great way to get out of the Magic Kingdom and have a, you know, tour the resorts and have a progressive meal. I've never thought of this, but this is great. So Debbie, what would you do?
Oh, jeepers. I want one of everything, and that will take care of it. Okay, so for my entree, I would definitely do the Captain's Cook. I can't pronounce it. I would get the lobster roll. It's the lobster salad on a split roll. Oh, that sounds so yummy. I love things like that. And then for the appetizer, I'm kind of torn on that one. I'm thinking, is it Contempo Cafe? Is that fair? Is that okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, go, so make sure. I'm looking at what I would love the Contempo Cafe, because I've heard really good things about this, would be the Italian, the pepperoni flatbread. I love Italian, so I think that'd be kind of fun to get started. And that's when you would head over and do the Captain Cook's for the lobster roll. And then dessert, is that it? Is that right?
Yep, you need dessert at the Grand Floridian.
Oh my gosh. What are we going to do at the Grand Floridian? Let's
have to go to Gasparilla Island.
Yep.
Yeah, I know. I think what I might do, guys, I just might do something really wild and have a sticky bun. That sounds naughty, but good.
That sounds super good.
I'm going to do a sticky bun.
Oh man, that just made me think of the sticky buns on the Apollo. Oh, those are so good.
Right. Yeah, hello.
Even when you're being stalked by the waiters, still, they're still good. And I still took like three. The guy turned his back, I took two extra ones. I didn't care.
I felt like the waiter and I had a moment. Like, we know
you
each other.
Wait for a ring, right?
Don't judge how many sticky buns I'm taking.
That's right.
I paid a lot for this cruise. I'm getting my money back in sticky buns.
Yeah, what is it to you?
Exactly. Great question, though, Peter. Thanks so much. Good talking to you. And that's a great idea. I'm going to have to do this. All right, next email comes from Darren, and it doesn't say where he's from, but he says, a little follow-up to your Trader Sam's discussion. My wife and I went in late July and walked into plenty of room, half the room open, on a Sunday early evening around 7-ish. We noted how surprisingly empty the place was to the bartender, and she said that evenings when there is no Polynesian luau tend to be a little bit lighter, which makes sense. To try this theory out, my wife and I headed there on the next day, a non-luau day, around 6 o'clock, and again experienced a lighter crowd. We were not there very late, so I can't speak for the late arriving crowds, but if folks are looking at making a dinner out of a trip to Trader Sam's, the non-luau rule looks pretty reliable. Great place, and thanks for the podcast.
Sweet.
I like to hear stuff like that. Good tip. I love tips. Because, man, that place is small, so, hey, you know, if it's not packed, good deal. All right, next question comes from Justin. He is a fellow lizard in Arizona. It's a good place for a lizard. I think there's real lizards out there and tough place to run, so props to Justin. He says, Dear Mike and the ladies, my fiance and I are headed to Walt Disney World in March for our honeymoon and are staying 3 nights at the Boardwalk and the remaining 4 nights at Bay Lake Tower. We were thinking about getting the dining plan for both stays, which brings me to my question. I know that with the recent changes to the Disney dining plan, it says that you can use an unlimited number of meal entitlements at one time, but the example given only refers to using more entitlements for people that may not be on your reservation. Can it go the other way? Can we just use one entitlement between my fiance and I and share the entree and dessert? If so, what about for signature dining locations like California Grill? Just use the two entitlements and share one entree and dessert. Thanks for taking the time to answer this question and keep up the good work. I love the podcast. All right, so Pam, I know that you know, technically, I guess you can, but at a place like California Grill, is that something that, you know, I mean, is it allowed, first of all? This is talk about you should or could or, you know, all that stuff.
I don't think there's anything, if you're eating at a table service that's not a buffet or all you care to eat, I don't think there's anything specifically prohibiting it, but I would imagine it is up to the interpretation of the dining plan rules by each particular venue. And you know, what I would do is I would actually call Disney and see what they say, because I would really like to have the answer of a cast member before I banked my plans on doing this. I know that there will be many people who say, no, you shouldn't do this. And there will also be many people who say, we have done this without problem. I just want you to have that, you know, that kind of peace of mind to know that it will all be okay. But yeah, I think, you know, it's not a bad strategy. And I know that we do, while we don't typically have the dining plan, we do split a lot of meals at counter service because it's just easy. It's super easy to do that. So anyways, but good luck.
Yeah, it's a good tip. Just call Disney and see what they say, because technically I think, yeah, you can do that. You know, but I think that when you're going to a place like California Grill with the pace of service and the venue, that, you know, you might want to talk to the waiter first and maybe tell them, you know, hey, I've already kind of eaten. We're, you know, we've eaten just a few hours before this, but we didn't want to lose the reservation. We wanted the experience. And I think that might be a good way to kind of approach this with the waiter so that they know, you know, kind of what's going on. You know, because, yeah, I mean, you know, again, my wife worked in she was a server. And so I kind of see it from her side where, you know, they want to make it worth their time because they're, you know, they invest a lot of time in each guest at the table. But I understand you've already paid for the Disney dining plan. You want to get the best bang for your buck. So I'm on both sides of this. I just want everybody to get what they're expecting out of the situation. All right. Next question comes from Tim, and he is in Philly. And he says, hello, Mike. I'm very excited to be emailing you regarding my upcoming Halloween vacation to Walt Disney World. I'd like to say first that I listen to your show religiously during my hour-long commute to my part-time job in Philadelphia. I have been saving every single penny and putting it towards my vacation, and have used your show as a resource for all of the planning as well as motivation to remember why I am driving an hour or sometimes more. My wife and I'll be celebrating our one-year anniversary and will be bringing our brand spanking new baby girl. She'll be 3 months old when we go, and we are extremely excited to have her with us. My mother-in-law will be coming as well, so my wife and I will be able to enjoy time alone in the parks together, which you probably haven't been able to do for the last 3 months. No. I remember those days. My wife has only been to the world one time, and I am happy to say that she has zero part in the planning process. As a hopeless romantic, I have done all the legwork and planning, and she will have no idea what we're doing or where we are eating. I have ADRs at San Angel Inn, Be Our Guest, Via Napoli, California Grill, Sunday Brunch at Raglan Road, Sci-Fi Drive-In, Breakfast at Trattoria Al Forno, and Pre-Halloween Party Dinner at Kona Cafe. We will also be visiting water parks and possibly even golfing for the very first time together. Tim, like, I want to go with you.
Yeah, right. Tim, give me a call.
I don't know
if he has a single brother.
I can pull a shift with the baby. Mallory turned out semi-okay. I know she's mean a lot of times. You've all seen her, the folks that have traveled with us. But, you know, she's, for the most part, she's not so bad. Anyway, here's my question. I have an open schedule for our first evening together, and I have a few ideas, but wanted to get the opinion of the experts. Of the following options, which do you see being the best way to start a vacation with a bang? So we're looking to start off with a bang, guys. Here we go. He has five options. Dinner at Disney Springs, followed by Lanuba. Cocktails at Trader Sam's, followed by Wishes on the Polynesian Beach. A sunset dinner at Sanaa. Dinner at Artist Point at the Wilderness Lodge, or miniature golf at Fantasia Gardens and pizza at the Boardwalk Resort. Also, I wanted to know if the ladies have ever tried the afternoon tea at the Grand Floridian and what are their thoughts. Either way, I know it'll be an amazing trip, but for some reason, this particular choice has been tough. I really appreciate your show, and thanks for all of the amazing tips you have given us all. Sincerely, Tim from Philly. And Tim, when I get emails like this, that's awesome. That you take us on your commute and that you care about, I appreciate that so much. So let me tell you that, brother. Thank you so much. So we got these five choices. Dinner at Disney Springs in Lanuba, cocktails at Trader Sam's, and then Wishes on the Beach at the Polynesian, sunset dinner at Sanaa, dinner at Artist Point at the Wilderness Lodge, or mini golf at Fantasia Gardens and pizza at the Boardwalk. For some reason, that just, like, the last one just, like, doesn't belong. I don't know. Maybe, like, is he punking me with the mini golf and the pizza? Because the other ones are all, like, super romantic. I don't know. It's so funny. Okay, so out of those five, Debbie, which would you pick to kick it off the right, you know, get that vacation just in high gear right off the bat?
I think it would be fun to go to Disney Springs, do the boathouse, definitely have dinner at the boathouse, those cars that go into the water, what are they called? Yeah, I can't think of the name, but do that because that's something unique. And then go to Lanuba.
That is true. Just make sure you get one of the cars that's specifically made to go in the water. Don't try to drive your, you know, 87 Grand Prix.
Good point. Good point. Yes, they would recommend you using theirs. Yes.
All right. So there we go. So one vote for Disney Springs. That place is trending up. Lots of great adventure to be found there. So, Pam, what do you say?
So I'm going to pull Pam on this one and give my top two. Artist Point is absolutely one of my favorite places to eat. I really, really, you know, we've always had great service, great atmosphere. It's just, the food's good. Everything about it, we really, really like. And if you do end up going to Artist Point, make sure you stop at Territory Lounge for a drink before you go in, because it's a great place to hang out too. And my other choice would actually be go ahead to Trader Sam's and then fireworks on the beach at the Polynesian, because I am just a sucker for fireworks on the beach. I think it's just a really cool thing to do. You can't do it that many places, and love doing it at the Polynesian.
And see, my pick would be cocktails at Trader Sam's and the Wishes at Polynesian Beach. And it all has to do with timing of the vacation. Your wife's kind of a Walt Disney World rookie, so you really want to give her that Disney experience right off the bat. You know, the thing you see on TV and on the Travel Channel specials. And I think by going to Trader Sam's, you're taking her in a very unique environment that's tons of fun for you guys. You know, you get to cut loose a little, order a Nautilus, watch them all do their thing. You know, it's just so much fun. Watch the interaction of the other guests and the bartenders and so forth. Like you said, step out on the Polynesian beach. What's more romantic and a better way to kick off the vacation than watching fireworks over Cinderella Castle from the Polynesian? I mean, that's awesome. But I would say that if you were doing this later in the trip, I wouldn't discount going to Sanaa for a sunset dinner, because the thing is I think at like day 5 or 6 of the vacation, it's really neat to see the diversity of what Walt Disney World has to offer by experiencing a resort like Animal Kingdom Lodge, where you have, I mean, you really do feel like you're in Africa. It's a very unique menu over there. If you get the bread service, I love that. My wife and I got that this past summer. It's a great dining experience with an awesome setting, and it really shows the diversity of what you get to experience at Walt Disney World. It's not all castles and fireworks. It's also taking you to places that you may never visit in your lifetime. But I would say, you know, for the first night, you got to be at the Polynesian. You got to be in the proximity of the Magic Kingdom. So that is what I would go with. Oh, and also the afternoon tea. Pam, I know you do this all the time. You know, you've done this quite a few times.
We do. We actually, all of us really like it. Even Steve likes it. At first, he wasn't sure about it. And then years ago, we dragged him with us. And now he doesn't want us to go without him, because it's just a really cool experience. You know, they have some custom blended teas just there for the Grand Floridian that are really cool to try out. But they also have a lot of other teas that you can be familiar with. And the food choices are really interesting. They've made some changes. We have the menu over up on the Mouse for Less if you want to check it out. But there's a lot of different tea courses from which to choose. And some of them include a champagne starter, which, hello, that's never a bad thing. So anyways, yeah, lots of fun. I would really recommend it.
Now, do you have to have the pinky up at the Grand Floridian? You don't? Interesting.
You're in Disney World.
Okay. All right. All right. Last question of the day. Let's get to the last one here. It's from Rebecca. And she doesn't. Oh, she says, howdy, y'all. And it says, y'all. Howdy from Austin. Austin, Texas.
There you go.
All right. Hook 'em horns. Love the show. You're an Aggie, right?
Giggle Aggies. Yeah. I know, Jimmy. I know you and Rhonda are probably right gasping right now, but yes, Giggle Aggies.
See, I would say something, but this year Mizzou's so bad. I can't. It's pathetic. Anyway, back to the email. Love the show. I listen every day on my way to and from work. It's a great way to get excited for our trip to the world. We're going in early November for the Wine and Food Festival. Party of 6, me, my husband, my parents, and my children, almost 3 and almost 1. My husband and I like almost 3 and almost 1 because you know what that means? Totally free. They're not 3, and they're that's how I'm so bad. That's how I read things like that. Almost 3, still free. You know, that's my new slogan. Anyway,
that's a good point.
My husband and I used to go a few times a year before we had children, but this is our first trip back since having kids. I have 2 questions. First one, my husband and mother hate roller coasters, but my father and I love them. Under the old paper fast pass system, my husband and I would both get a fast pass for a particular roller coaster, and then I would get to ride twice in a row, one with my fast pass and one with his. Now that we have the fast pass plus system, is this still possible? For example, if I make a fast pass reservation for 4 of us for Space Mountain, Can't My Dad and I each ride the attraction twice in a row using our own reservations and then those made under my husband's and my mom's names. I assumed to do this, my mom and husband would need to be present to scan their magic bands, but I don't know if the cast members would let us do this. I promise this is not as heartless as it sounds. I would, of course, let my husband have my fast pass for another attraction he really loves in exchange for his roller coaster fast passes. All right, so here's the best way to do this, and I don't know if it's legal or not legal, but this is what we do. I just give my magic band. Like, if I have an extra fast pass in my magic band, I just give it to Paige, and she puts it on. They don't care. They don't look at your name when you go through the thing. And we've never been stopped doing that. So, but the only problem is, though, is that if, you know, you get three to start off, that if you're making, you know, your husband's going to have, like, you're talking about giving fast passes back and forth, but you're each only going to get three experiences initially. So, you know, you're not going to have the unlimited fast passes like you did in the paper days, but I think you probably know that. So, yeah, I mean, Pam, I mean, I know you've been around when we've, you know, kind of swapped out magic bands. I mean, legal, illegal, I don't know, but I've never had an issue with it.
This is coming from Pam, the podcaster. I don't think you'll have a problem with it.
Okay, good. I hear.
And I have no specialized knowledge of it.
I hear what you're saying. All right. I mean, it happens to slide off your arm.
Just slider. She always has to plop in there.
I know.
It's a good thing. We got it. You know, hey, we're fair and balanced here. You know, we keep it real. Second one, we have 7-day park hopper passes. We plan to spend most evenings and the weekend at Epcot for the wine and food festival fun, but we'll also have a couple evenings planned at the Magic Kingdom while we're there. I have read so many blogs about FastPass Plus strategies and whether we should make reservations for the first thing in the morning so we can make new reservations after we park hop versus making them for late in the day and just winging it in the mornings. Do y'all have an opinion on it? We absolutely plan to have an afternoon break at our resort. Any insight is greatly appreciated. Thanks for the podcast. It brightens my day and gets me amped up for the trip. Maybe I'll see you all around Epcot in November, Rebecca. Hope to see you, Rebecca. That'd be awesome because we'll be down there the hair over a week, 8 days, we'll be there. But so as far as, again, I haven't changed. I know a lot of people have just different philosophies on how to use FastPass Plus. There's no right or wrong answer. But I still, like, here is my plan, and I still believe in it. And I know it's like the opposite of Matt Hochberg's. He likes to burn his first thing in the morning so we can keep getting him the rest of the day. I'm the opposite. I like to go to the park early in the morning when it opens, ride as many attractions as I can because the waits are shorter in the morning. Once the crowds start to build, that's when we leave, get lunch, go back to the resort like you said you're going to do, take an afternoon break, and then we have three fast passes to the park we're hopping to in the evening. It is so refreshing when you're a little bit tired in the evening after you've been swimming and going in the morning, knowing that, you know what, I have three attractions I'm going to get to ride at my park. And many times, like if you're going to the Magic Kingdom, Epcot, or the studios, you have a nighttime show to see at the end of the night. So you have three attractions and a nighttime show. And many times, the park we hop to is where we have supper as well. So, you know, that's a great evening. You have a great meal. Like you go to Via Napoli, then you do Soarin', and you, you know, have, you know, maybe reserve seating for Illuminations and another, like Living with the Land. You got to have three, but you know, you have a great evening planned. It's almost like, you know, just like money in your pocket, you know, it's going to be a good evening, but again, you got to get up early to take advantage of those low crowds first thing in the morning. So Pam, how have you kind of settled in now that we're a year or two into the FastPass Plus system?
I do it exactly the way you do, Mike. We get there first thing in the morning. I still find, and this was true even for, you know, on holidays, on New Year's Eve, any holiday that I have been there, even when it's a holiday, if I get there first thing in the morning, there are still plenty of attractions I can ride with a very low wait. And it just is, you know, that's just the way we do it. We get there, we get a whole bunch of stuff done. And then we have our fast passes scheduled for later in the day, because then I know exactly what's going to happen. Then again, that goes back to my whole, like, if I didn't plan it, I'd be worrying about it the whole rest of the day. And there's no guarantee what's even going to be available for fast pass later in the day. That's the thing that would drive me crazy about banking on the fact that I'm going to get four fast passes. Well, first of all, at Epcot, what difference does four fast passes make? I never use more than two of them there anyway.
Yeah, so because, true. Yeah.
You know, because it's the tiers, you know, whenever you're in a park where there's tiers, it really doesn't make that much of a difference. And by the time I get over to the Magic Kingdom, what if I've used 3 fast passes, what is going to be left for me to use a fast pass for? I mean, I'm sure that there will be maybe a few choices, but not really anything that I would, you know, really need to use a fast pass for anyways. So that's just my.
That's so true, because you end up with like that, you know, the Nemo and Friends Fast Pass or Captain EO. I mean, you don't need
it. Journey into Imagination.
Oh,
that's it.
You guys are hurting me.
Well, I mean, you know, it's just like one of those things you don't need. I mean, no matter even if you like the attraction, I love Captain EO, but I know I don't need a Fast Pass for it. And it kills me to select, like, when I have to select Nemo, you know, because you got to pick 3. It's just, it's like, oh, I can't believe I have to do this. And it's one of those things. It's kind of just how I'm made. That I like knowing, even in the morning, like when I'm getting all those rides done, a lot of times I go to the Magic Kingdom, we'll get a ton of stuff done in the morning. I love knowing, okay, tonight we're going to have a great night at Epcot because we have dinner. I can do Spaceship Earth. I can do Soarin'. I can do Living with the Land, or, you know, or maybe have a reserve seating for Illuminations. I mean, I know that, like, I'm insured to have a great evening, you know, and then when I have a good morning, I mean, the day's just, it's awesome. You're set up. So Debbie, how do you go about it? Do you kind of use the same strategy or do you do something different?
I do get like a fast pass of in the morning that I really, really have to ride. Like over at Magic Kingdom, a must do for me is Peter Pan. Over at Hollywood Studios, it's got to be Star Wars, because what I like to do when they're like my favorite rides, I go there myself and ride it without standing in line, because, you know, the kids are still in bed asleep, you know, because I'm there at rope drop. But then I use my fast pass to ride it again. And then I might sprinkle it down, like maybe another one, like maybe right before lunch. And then I do something after lunch, like maybe, let's say, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. So I do sprinkle mine a little bit throughout the day. I do personally ride a lot of rides in the morning, because that's, you could duck out a lot of things, you know, because people are still trying to get their kids' ponytails right and all this stuff. So that's how I pretty much do mine, at least for the afternoon after the parade, maybe to go back, relax a little bit, and then get ready for, you know, let's say an event or just coming back for fireworks.
That's actually called the morning meltdown. Like on day 5 or 6 of the vacation, when you're trying to get there for rope drop and the kids have the morning meltdown. And Dad is frustrated because he has the perfect plan laid out. And this is not part of the plan.
You know how much I spent on your vacation?
We're having a blast. Don't you know that we're the happiest place on earth? Let's go.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you so much, everybody, for the great questions. We appreciate that. Send yours in today to mike@brguestpodcast.com. And we'll share those here on a future episode. And don't forget, we need you right now. I want to remind you one more time. Drop by facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Add a few sentences to our collective Halloween story. Again, we can take this anywhere you want. We want it to be kind of spooky, a lot of funny in that. You know, maybe some celebrities from our little community. You know, you could put maybe Mike Bankhead sneaks in there. Maybe we have a lizard. Maybe we have other podcasters. We have famous Disney villains in there, maybe. Whatever you want to do with this story, get it in by Wednesday night, by tonight if you're listening on Wednesday. Add a few sentences. It's going to be fun to read online, but I'll share that on our Friday podcast if we get enough participation. I really hope we do, because I think this could be kind of a tradition that we have each Halloween. So drop by facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Today's episode brought to you, as always, by the good folks over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go WDW. Days to Go lets you count in the days until that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. And right now I'm grabbing my phone, because I just love seeing this. 7 days to go. I love when I'm in the single digits, but 7 days, that means 1 week. I love this. Until I get to head down for the Wine and Dine Half Marathon weekend, see so many friends that I haven't seen in so long. And I've been getting excited over the past 3-4 months. Each and every day I look down at this app. So grab Days to Go WDW, and also keep up with everything going on at the Disney parks. And man, they could just make an app for Disney Springs and it would be fine. So much going on. So get Theme Park News Disney Edition. This is a free iOS app that's going to give you both official and unofficial news from your favorite place. So check out these and other great apps over at virtualmickey.com. Do check out Magical Mouse Radio for the best mix of Walt Disney World in-park audio and music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at magicalmouseradio.com. And don't forget, this Saturday, all day, all night, Walt Disney World holiday-themed audio, Halloween-themed audio, I should say, the holiday stuff. I think you can tell I've been working on it. that's the next holiday. But right now, Halloween's coming to you on Saturday. So stuff like Haunted Mansion, Tower of Terror, Hallowishes, Boo to You, and more. It's your soundtrack for Halloween 2015. Put that Bluetooth speaker in the window and blast it out to your street as people come around trick-or-treating and let them know that you are a Disney fan. Again, all day, all night, Halloween audio on Saturday, October 31st. Your source for the spooky Halloween magic, MagicalMouseRadio.com. The next Be Our Guest Podcast live show is on November 15th, so put that on the calendar, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central. Give us a follow on Twitter. We're at Be Our Guest Mike. Again, Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast to get in on the story and all the fun over there. We have our great forums, BeOurGuestPodcast.com/forums. All right, we're going to get out of here and let you get on with your Wednesday. Sorry that we went a little bit long, but we wanted to get some questions in and start catching up here. And it was a great show today. We had a lot of fun talking Disney with you. Hope you enjoyed it as well. So for Ricky, Debbie, and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a great midweek. Stay safe and keep working hard, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.